It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Wednesday, January 26th, 2011. I'm John Moe. There have been massive anti-government protests going on in Egypt in recent days, and there are reports of Twitter being blocked by the Egyptian government, making it harder for protesters to organize. Social media is becoming a big part of protest movements around the world. During the recent upheaval in Tunisia, people flocked to Facebook to coordinate, share information and videos. But before long, protesters reported their accounts were being hacked or deleted. Alexis Madrigal wrote an article about Facebook and Tunisia for The Atlantic this week. He says the government doesn't officially control Tunisian ISPs, the internet service providers, but their fingerprints are hard to miss.
The Tunisians actually call this sort of cyber-censoring force Amar. And everyone knows that the authorities have control over these ISPs and that they're the ones who are doing the censoring. But it's a little bit like, you know, if you were in China, you could buy your internet service from somebody, but you'd know that, you know, kind of layered over the top of it or laced through it would be the authorities.
So how did Facebook respond to this situation?
They recoded the interface so that you actually had to log in through HTTPS, which, you know, stands for secure. You sometimes will recognize it up in your browser bar when you're, you know, purchasing something.
A more secured setting.
A more secured setting. What it does, it encrypts the information that Facebook is being sent. And this sort of simple keylogger couldn't deal with that encryption. They also put in what they call roadblocks on accounts that they thought had been compromised, because not everyone's account was compromised, because you can stay persistently logged in to Facebook, and those people are actually safe. But those that took the time to log in and then log back out, they're the ones who had the possibility of having their accounts compromised, and they were, you know, informed by Facebook, and Facebook actually asked them sort of specific security questions to ascertain their identities.
If Facebook is going to be in the middle of revolutions, what responsibilities does it now have? Jillian York is with the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard.
What it comes down to for Facebook is that while a large majority of their users in most countries are just using it as a social tool, there are a lot of activists, and human rights activists in particular, using Facebook for organizing. This is not a new thing. This happened in Tunisia, and it definitely happens other places as well. So I think what's important is making sure that those activists are protected when they're on the network. For this, I think this means making sure that everyone has access to the HTTPS version of Facebook. I know that it's been made default in Tunisia, and we're hoping that that will happen outside of Tunisia as well. But it also means perhaps taking a close look at their terms of service and making sure that they're protecting the users and really protecting all users and, you know, just ensuring that when they use Facebook, their names, their passwords, their content is secure.
For now, the changes Facebook made have allowed more people to hold on to their accounts and stay active. Again, Alexis Madrigal.
Users doubled and almost tripled their time on the site, and they got hundreds of thousands of new users. This is in a country of 10 million people where there were only a couple million Facebook users. So at least, you know, the street appears to think that things were safe on Facebook. I mean, it's not a perfect solution. ISPs around the world can actually downgrade requests from HTTPS to HTTP. But Facebook, after lots of investigation, and they've been, watching out for this, has not seen that in Tunisia. It's kind of unclear why that hasn't happened, but it's at least a possibility. And I think, you know, it's another area where, you know, in the future, if that's true, how will Facebook respond?
Other stories we're following at marketplacetech.org. Can you run a search engine or a Gmail? Google says it's adding over 6,000 employees in 2011, has about 24,000 now. And Verizon will offer a $30 unlimited data plan for new iPhone customers, but only for a limited time, then they'll go to a tiered system. Producer Larissa Anderson is here with a story you may have missed.
We've been hearing a lot about 3D video games lately.
Sure, Nintendo's 3DS is coming out in a couple months.
Well, get ready for the 1D revolution.
1D!
A web designer has created a new 1D version of the classic video game Castle Wolfenstein.
I'm going to play it right now. Fire up that 8-bit music.
So what you're going to see on the screen is really just one little line. It's just one pixel high, and you move forward, and you can shoot, and you barely know you're even playing a game.
I think I just might have shot a guy here, or maybe I got shot. I've got some learning to do.
So how can I find the secret war plans if I can't even tell what anything is?
Well, really? like any video game, Larissa, you just have to keep trying at it. But here's a hint. Move to the right. Constantly. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.